Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. This episode, we have my friend Zach Brown, McLaren Technology Group's Executive Director. Zach is now looking after the McLaren Formula One team. It's about 45, 50 days into that new role, replacing the legendary Ron Dennis. Caught up with Zach, looking at the new 2017 season ahead. Spoke a little bit about his personal adjustment process. Again, he hasn't been on the job long, but he's certainly been tasked with some major upgrades and improvements for the team. Been a little while since they have found victory lane. I also spoke about how the team's reacting to having this new American influence management style and what that's been like for them, how he's been received. He also spoke on whether he thought the team could return to the win column in 2017. Got into whether someone like Zach and a group of hundreds of employees, a giant organization, can have a big impact. Obviously, he has a big title, a big role, but obviously it's also a lot easier to have a big impact on a smaller group. So just spoke a little bit about that, the differences between a giant Formula One organization and how a senior manager can affect its outcome compared to how some North American teams are structured. We also looked at his efforts to manage the expectations of the team, of their partners, of their drivers. They all want to win instantly. If you aren't in the win column, it is fairly rare in F1 that you can change that fortune overnight. So spoke with Zach about how he's having to keep folks engaged, fired up, ramped up towards getting back to victory lane, but also realizing that it might not be happening overnight. Got into their new driver, Stoffel Vandoorne. Granted, he's not new to the team, but new in a full-time role. And how he and Formula One world champion Fernando Alonso are getting along, how that relationship is working in this new full season dynamic, how it's also maybe a little bit different from having two world champions in Jenson Button and Fernando together. Someone who was tipped as a possible replacement for Bernie Ecclestone for many years, got Zach's take on whether the Liberty Media and their group and their new big role in Formula One, how that might play out, knowing that Bernie Ecclestone is indeed a former part of the Grand Prix grid, whether losing Bernie is a good or bad thing. So he spoke on some of the positives, some of the negatives that he sees. But we closed on something a little bit deeper, not necessarily 100% McLaren-based, maybe a little bit more philosophical in nature, but spoke about the big income that's generated by Formula One's TV contracts, and also what comes to teams in terms of the point distribution, and whether that should be balanced out more, a little bit more of a equal distribution system, or whether he thinks the admittedly unequal system, one that favors the big teams, the Ferraris, the McLarens, and otherwise, and disadvantages the true midfielders and the bottom teams, whether that deserves a rethink and possibly completely new structure. You can get every new episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes through any of the podcast aggregators that you happen to like, and also post every new episode on our Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page. So if you can, check them out, subscribe, like, or do whatever you feel like with those. And off you go with Zach Brown, 2017 McLaren Formula One season ahead.
Just wanted to check in, see how the process of working into your new role at McLaren is going. Obviously have the season that's getting closer. Is that something that for you and your new role there you're feeling comfortable with? Or is it a, hey, can we slow the clock down a little bit? 2017 is coming at me a little faster than I wanted.
Oh no, I want to go. I had lunch with Stoffel today, and we both talked about it's been a fun off season, but we're ready. We're not ready tomorrow because the car's not done yet. I don't think anyone's ready, but we're eager. I want to put the car on the track. Everyone's working together great. I'm excited for everyone to see our livery. As you probably saw today, we announced our chassis name. Everyone's super excited. I feel like a kid in the candy store. I walk the factory floor most days in the what we call the boulevard, and had Johnny Rutherford's IndyCar put back in the boulevard because got all our awesome F1 cars, our Can-Am car, our Le Mans winner. And then it was like, hey, we need our IndyCar out here.
Good man. So, good man.
I'm spending my days like a big kid.
And what are you finding from a reception standpoint? I know when we spoke, when you first accepted the role, that you didn't expect any issues. You expected nothing but positivity. now that you have some decent time in this role, familiar face, folks get to know Zach and what he's bringing. What has this integration process been like for you? And what have you seen in terms of applying your, you know, some of your approach or style to move McLaren in a direction where we can see success coming at whatever rate?
It's been great, thoroughly enjoyable. I can talk McLaren and racing and Formula One, as you know, all day long. So can everyone at McLaren. I've been impressed but not surprised as to how deep the passion is at McLaren through its employees and their desire to win. I think they're all frustrated, as you could imagine, and eager to get back to our winning ways. I don't think our results the last couple of years are something that the team is accustomed to. They don't like it, and they want to turn things around at the same time, you know, one step at a time. So while we're doing all the right things, I think, you know, success, we need to keep moving up the grid. But, you know, I would caution, you know, we're not going to be winning any races next year, I don't anticipate. So, you know, we need to be measured on forward progress as opposed to ultimate results in 17.
Sure.
You know, so we need to make sure we don't kind of, you know, we've got the enthusiasm to be winning races in the championship, but I don't think we're there yet with our overall package. And therefore, you know, I'm just eager to see us keep moving up the grid and get ourselves in a position to start winning races in 2018. And it's great. They've been very warm to me. I'm a racer. You know, they're racers. I feel very welcomed. A lot, you know, a lot of the people I've already known. You know, it's a big team. It's a big operation. And it feels, you know, that my special moment was putting on the race shirt for the first time. Kind of going, wow, I'm a McLaren member now. So it's, yeah. It's awesome. I'm loving it.
I'm good at asking dumb questions, so this probably will come across as a dumb question. It's mainly aimed at an American audience that I think for some who've recently found Formula One maybe don't know all the differences and nuances between maybe American motor racing and European-based series like F1, but you come from either working with teams when you were a race driver or even owning your own team with United Autosport where the numbers aren't huge. Right? If you're running a Farm Atlantic car and you're a driver for that Atlantic team, you know, you between the truckie slash mechanic slash engineer, you know, it's four or five people at most. You move up to your United Autosports team if you're going to go run LMP3 somewhere. It's obviously a bigger number, you know, 10, 12, however many it is. But within that smaller environment, and I think what we see a lot here in North America, you can identify the engine. Right, you can say, all right, that person's the engine, that person's really the heart, or one or two people where you can say, they move this team forward. What's it like when you step into a McLaren and you've got 19 million people there? Is it still possible for a Fernando Alonso, a Stoffel Van Dorn, a Zach Brown, or others to be that stereotypical engine that is pushing and moving an organization forward? Or is that really not so much of a thing when you've got a massive number of people making this program work?
Massive number of people making the program work. So there isn't any one person that is, you know, we're successful because of this guy or girl. So it is a collection of big groups of people. I think, you know, ultimately the buck has to stop with someone. And in my case, that's myself and Jonathan Neal co-running the enterprise and ultimately reporting into the executive committee. Eric Boullier is ultimately responsible for the racing team. So the buck stops with him as to whether we're you know, competitive, and then it starts to go into groups there, or our car team, our engineering team, our aerodynamics team, all of which have their own individual leaders. And so I think at the very top of the tree, Jonathan and I's goal has to be to have the right people in the right places with the right resources, with the right leadership. So, you know, that's what we have in Eric Boullier, and then ultimately his team. So, you know, you certainly, it's a team effort, but if you're not successful, you look at a couple people who are responsible for the team, and, you know, it's our responsibility.
How much of your role, Zach, is about managing expectations? You obviously mentioned just a few minutes ago about we've got a long way to go to get to where we want to be. Wins in 2017 might be a little bit optimistic, but we also live in a different world today where everything is hyper-scrutinized. Every race is, you know, poured through like an episode of the first 48. I mean, just we live in instant expectations, instant analysis. The world is filled with experts about everything. How much of your role is communicating with Honda, communicating with your partners, communicating with whomever to say, okay, let's not get caught up in the noise and the constant hum of the outside world telling us where we should be. This is the path we know we're on, and we need to keep our minds really, really focused on that. Is that a big part of what you're having to do?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We've got to, I like the enthusiasm, but we need to, you know, keep realistic. Patience isn't something that anyone in racing necessarily has a lot of. It's not that type of sport. But if we set expectations too high, then we're setting ourselves up for failure. So we got to let our enthusiasm and passion drive us, but not set ourselves up for failure. So, you know, when it comes to sponsorship, it's very kind that some people have very high expectations and are asking me questions about title sponsorship. I've been on the job 45 days, and it takes a year to find a title sponsor, and, you know, there's no guarantees. So our results are very visible, both, you know, on the track and on the car. So that comes with a certain amount of pressure, a lot of pressure. But as you will have seen, I've told people to not expect miracles in 2017, and what I've said internally is I think 2017 is going to feel good, meaning the team's going to come together, we're excited, we're working well, and I think 2018 is going to look good. So to the naked eye, may not see as much progress as we're going to see internally in 17. 18 is going to be a year where people can start to really see a difference.
So we've had a bit of a changing of the guard on the driver front, going from two extremely popular world champions to obviously retaining one world champion in Fernando. You have Stoffel, who's been within the McLaren planet for a little while now, but really now being promoted into a full-time position in a race seat. What have you seen in that dynamic so far during those 45 days between Stoffel and Fernando? And any thoughts on not only how well they might gel, but whether, maybe this young kid who's quick as a bunny might bring some new or different heat to the teammate dynamic?
Yeah, so they get along very well. You know, they're both kind of head down, focused on their own racing. I think they're going to work well together to drive the team forward. And while we all know teammates want to beat each other, they want to beat everyone else. I don't think either of them are the type who are going to be, you know, too excited by beating their teammate if, you know, they're eighth and ninth. So I think their primary agenda and focus is about getting to the front of the field and then worrying about each other. And, you know, Stoffel's a very mature 24-year-old. I have no doubt he's going to push Fernando, which is going to be healthy for the team, but I have seen it to be a very healthy relationship. I don't think that'll change, but as we all know in motor racing, teammates get to each other, and whether it's Senna and Prost or Rosberg and Hamilton, you know, it becomes tricky. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the competition between them and look forward to helping manage through some, you know, inter-team or rivalries, which no doubt, you know, you'll have, which is going to keep it healthy.
We've had some shifts in Formula One's tectonic plates lately, with Liberty completing their deal, your old friend Bernie Ecclestone not expected to be the same looming presence he's always been. We've had Ross Brawn appointed to I think a very important role with that change going on. What do you see in terms of positives and any potential negatives in the this power transition that has removed Bernie, yet brought in a former team owner and obviously a well-respected person in Ross?
I think lots of opportunity and excitement ahead. I think, as we all know, Formula One has got a lot of areas of room for improvement. And that's the exciting part, is I think Liberty and Co. are going to tackle those issues. I think, you know, any transition is challenging, especially when you're coming off someone who was as powerful and influential as Bernie. So I think it would be naive to think it won't be without its challenges from time to time, because while there's lots of areas that under Bernie's management there's room for improvement, but there's a lot of things that Bernie did that were brilliant. And we'll take a little bit of time for Liberty to be as brilliant as he was in those areas. So I think net-net, it's a very exciting times. I'm very bullish for F1. Great times ahead, but, you know, we'll have our moments of frustration, and Liberty will have their moments of learning, and we've got to learn Liberty. But on the whole, very excited where we're headed.
Last question for you, which is maybe not so much a specific McLaren question, but more of a distribution philosophy. Obviously, Manor has been, you know, struggling to hold on for a while now. We obviously got the unfortunate news that it has lost its finger hold on staying in Formula One, read from the Sauber folks. And we've been hearing this for many years from different teams, usually smaller midfield teams, about the way the TV money and financial distribution is done. It's certainly favoring the bigger and older teams, and the lesser teams want more. How can we balance this out? Do you see any merits in that philosophy? And I ask because for some of the bigger teams, that could mean less income, but it could also fortify the midfield and bottom teams that, you know, are perennially struggling to stay afloat.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we need costs to come down. We need the equity split to be more equitable. I don't think it needs to be, you know, even across the board, because I think some teams such as ours bring more to the table than others, and they needed to be rewarded accordingly for that, their tenure and investment in the sport. But I think the balance between first and last is too big and is unhealthy. And if it's unhealthy for the grid, then it's unhealthy for all of us. So we got to bring costs down, exposure up, and balance the money to have a more competitive racing series, which we all want to see personally. You know, I'm very confident in McLaren's abilities, so, you know, I think we should have a fair fight, and may the best man win.
And that was Zach Brown from the McLaren Formula One team. Again, you can check out every new episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes, on our new Facebook page, and your favorite podcast aggregator. As always, I'm Marshall Pruitt. Thanks for listening.